Here we think is God, but Lord, that we would truly know and be a people that know how to discern the voice of the Spirit and walk accordingly. Father, let your blessing be upon him and upon our hearts and ears as we receive this word today. Father, we thank you and we come expectantly to your table. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Amen. Well, as Pastor Don said, we have been throughout this year already, for a while now, we've been speaking about knowing God. It's so important, I mean, for us to be able to know God. I mean, just when you take the time and you take a few moments to think about the fact that the Creator of heaven and earth, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is inviting us to come close to Him, to spend time. He's knocking at our door, as Alex so aptly demonstrated this morning. He's knocking at our door and saying, I want to come in and get to know you. And he wants to spend, or actually really wants to come in and let us get to know him. And once we really think about it, we realize, like, wow, what a privilege that is. That God says, I want to spend time with you so you can know how I am. What a blessing that is. Our Heavenly Father thought it was so important, in fact, for that to happen, that He actually sent His Son to this earth to be sacrificed, a sacrificial offering, so that we could, once again, get close to Him. We would have that opportunity to be able to come before God. Because before that, as I mentioned during the worship, according to Ephesians 2:12, it says that we were without hope and without God in this world. We were lost. You know that show they have on TV called Lost? That's nothing compared to where we were without God. I don't know about you, but the last place I want to be is without hope and without God. That does not sound like an exciting adventure to me. Fortunately, in the verse right after that, Ephesians 2:13, it says, but now in Christ, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. God brought us close to Him. He brought us near to Him for a reason, so we could get to know Him. Why would you bring somebody close to you? Why would you, you know, bring someone to spend time with you? Because we want to relate. I want to relate to you. That's what He's saying. In the book of John, chapter 17, just before Jesus went to the cross, He took some time to pray for us, and He said, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted Him authority over all people, that He might give eternal life to those you have given Him. That's us. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God. Now, when we say know, you know, I'm not just talking about knowing about God. You know, knowing His name, knowing, you know, like reading a little bit, a story about God. Oh, yeah, I know who God is. No, He means He wants to know. That's real eternal life, is to know God, to get to know Him. Jesus knew that He was here on a very important mission and that everything that He was going through was so that we could get to know our Heavenly Father. The Apostle Paul also understood how important it was. And as he was led by the Spirit, he wrote in Ephesians 1:17, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. He was praying for us that we would have the Spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know the Father better. In the end, there's really only one thing that is necessary. I always think of Jesus when He was with Mary and Martha. And Mary was sitting at His feet and Martha was working and working and working. And He said, you know, there's one thing that's necessary. And that's to know Him. While He get with God, while He may be found, get still before God. Just like the song we heard today, I was thinking of that one line last night as I was listening to it. What have I in this life? All I have is you. what have I in this life? All I really have is you, meaning God. Getting to know God, that should be our number one priority, the never-ending goal in our life. Because the more we get to know Him, the greater, the more fulfilling, the more joyful, the more optimistic, the more peaceful, the more loving, the more blessed, the more everything good our life will be. But today I want to talk about the Holy Spirit and how He will help us to get to know God. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't even have a clue about who God was or how we've been called into this amazing, wonderful plan that God has for every one of us, for all of mankind. It's the Holy Spirit who reveals the person of God, and it's the Holy Spirit who reveals His purpose and plans to us. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, we would be clueless, totally clueless. We would truly be without hope in a dark world. We would be stuck away in the darkness, just like if we were in a container ship in a hold, or down in a deep cargo hold of a ship, or down in a dark, damp dungeon, down in that darkness with no light whatsoever. Hopeless, lost, forgotten. But because we know God, it's not like that. As always, there will be choices that we will have to make. We're going to have to choose between being led by the Spirit of God or controlled by our carnal, fleshly, sinful nature. This choice always comes up in our life, over and over and over and over. It's going to be a daily thing that we're going to have to choose between the Spirit or the flesh. In Romans chapter 8, I'm going to read this, verse 5 through 16. And it says, "Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires." Makes sense, right? "But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God." So if we're living according to the flesh, if we're living according to this carnal nature, it doesn't matter what we do. It says we cannot please God. I don't care if you go out and start an orphanage. I don't care if you dump $1,000 into some offering. I don't care if you go help little old ladies across the street or adopt a little child from Africa or China or Cambodia or something like that. You know what? It doesn't please God. It's a nice thing. It's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. As far as the world is concerned, it's beautiful. But you know what? As far as God's concerned, it doesn't mean a whole lot. "You, however," now this is speaking to us, those who do know God, "you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body, the flesh, is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature, to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you're going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you're going to live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons and the daughters of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. God certainly doesn't mince his words, does he? He lays it out there. He tells it straight. He's not politically correct. He doesn't worry about offending. He says it the way it is. The only thing he's concerned about is making sure that the truth is out there, loud and clear. He wants us to understand that if we want to get to know him, if we want to get close to him, we're going to have to play by his rules and be led by his spirit. It's not our game. It's not our rules. It's all about him. What has he decided? He made the world. He made us. We're his creation. If a painter paints a painting, does the paintbrush tell a painter what to do? Does the painting tell the paintbrush or the painter what to do? No. The one who's painting makes up his mind how he wants to paint. God is the creator. He decides the way we're supposed to live. And the way he's designed it is for optimal blessing, maximum joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Maximum pleasure, maximum joy, maximum life, maximum blessing. That's what he wants for us. The only reason we have so much trouble in this world is because everybody said, no, I can do it better. That's why the world is full of sin and death. Because we thought we could be like God. Because we thought we knew better, speaking as the paint or the pitcher, we knew better than the artist. No way. If we choose to live according to the sinful nature, we're not going to really have a relationship with God. It's going to be very surfacey and have very little meaning because there's no real depth. There's nothing really there. If the sinful nature is king, that's what we're talking about here when we say ruled by the sinful nature. If the sinful nature is king, the only law that the sinful nature has to follow then is the law that satisfies its every desire. Then the sinful nature does what it wants, when it wants, how it wants, where it wants. At least it thinks it does. But in reality, it's controlled by the lusts of the flesh, by pride, by selfish ambition, by pleasure and power and money and emotions and feelings and earthly wisdom and all these things. We become a slave then to those things, to sin. Usually it's some combination of those. But somehow or other, if we've not given ourselves over to God, all these different things will come into play and they will be the things that guide us. And what happens then is those things become our treasure. And if money is our treasure, if power is our treasure, if lust is our treasure, if sex is our treasure, if drugs are our treasure, if position or, you know, whatever it is, if that's our treasure, the Word tells us that's where our heart will be. It won't be running after God. That's all we'll care about, and we won't really care about what God wants. And so we won't have much desire then to get close to Him. The things that are spiritual, things that are unseen, will have no value to the person who lives by the flesh or the carnal nature. Doing things to please God and get His blessing, that doesn't really make any sense. It seems foolish. And that's why you have so many people out there who dismiss God. They dismiss Christianity, living for God as something, you know, for people that don't know what they're doing. They live only by faith, and they don't have any intelligence, any thinking capacity at all. They think it's just purely a head in the clouds kind of a thing. They're way off. They just don't understand. They can't see it because they're ruled by the flesh. So the things of the Spirit make absolutely no sense. Romans 8:6 says, the mind of sinful man is death. There's no life in the things that are done in the flesh. Romans 8:7-8 says, the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. We mentioned that earlier. Romans 8:13 makes it crystal clear. If you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. Die in eternity and even die on this earth. And I don't just mean like a physical death. I mean die. Well, just everything that should seem important becomes like death wrapped around us. The same section of Scripture also speaks to those who have committed their lives to Christ, who have received the Holy Spirit. And hopefully that's everyone in here. Romans 8:9 says, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. So here we have the Apostle Paul writing as he's led by the Spirit of God. And he throws out this little sort of checklist or this check for, self-check for those who are reading this message, this letter to the Romans. And he wants to make sure that everyone there who calls themselves a Christian understands that to be a Christian, to belong to God, we must have the Holy Spirit. It's not optional. Romans 8:14 tells us the same thing in another way when it says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. In other words, if you're not led by the Spirit of God, you're not one of God's children. That's what it's saying. In the next verse it says, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. You received the Spirit of sonship. And by Him, by that Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. See, God is saying we can know this. We can get this. We can understand this. Our spirit within us will testify with God's spirit that, yes, we've connected with God. I'm one of His. When the carnal nature is in control, we become slaves to sin, and our eventual end is only death. When the Holy Spirit's in control, we get to be sons and daughters of our Father in heaven. We get to know Him and have a life of purpose and blessing. Romans 8:6 tells us the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Even though throughout our life in this world we're going to have problems, and we will. Jesus told us, in this world you will have problems. But remember, He also said, but be of good cheer, for I've overcome the world. God promises that He will give us peace. Jesus said it, be of good cheer, I've overcome. In Philippians 4:7, it says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's amazing how God can give us peace in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of disaster. You may have found yourself in some terrible situation. Sometimes we're really struggling. We're going through something really hurtful, whether it's with our health or our family or a loved one or work situation, family, whatever it might be. And if we turn to God, if we allow God to speak to us and to comfort us, and if we give Him, remember Jesus said, all you who are heavy laden, come to Me, and I will give you rest. If we do that, He'll give us that peace. He'll give us that rest in the midst of our trouble. The Holy Spirit also helps us to see the reality of the spiritual world. And this is the part, I mean, I love everything about the Holy Spirit, but I love this part, this aspect, that the Holy Spirit allows us to see into the spiritual realm, into the spiritual world. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 14. As it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. These senses of ours, these natural senses of ours, these eyes, these ears, this nose, this mouth, my sense of touch, none of these senses can understand what God's got for me. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. He's revealing Himself to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. You see, the Holy Spirit knows the depths of God. The Holy Spirit understands who God is, and when we go through the Holy Spirit to meet God, God will open up our understanding of Him. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal the Father to us. For who among man knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. You want to know what God's thinking? He wants you to know too. And He will reveal His thoughts to us when we seek Him out through His Holy Spirit. We have not received the spirit of this world, which is the devil and evil, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. We talked about this earlier. It's saying in a different way yet again. The person that doesn't have the Holy Spirit cannot accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them. They have no meaning. They think we're idiots. They think we're stupid. They think we're nuts. They think we're gullible. They think we're weak. They think we're wimpy. That's the world's view of Christianity and of Christians. The wisdom of this world is what to God? Foolishness. What God's telling us right out in front is those people that don't have a spirit, they are the ones that don't understand the reality of the world, the reality of eternity, the reality of all that goes on in this universe. They are limited to the natural realm, to this little aspect of time and physical space, where our knowledge can expand out into eternity through the Holy Spirit. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. I'm reading it again. For they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Our fleshly bodies, our human senses, cannot see into the spiritual kingdom. I can't feel what's in the spiritual kingdom. I can't reach out and touch that possible angel that could be standing right here by my side. I can't feel him. Oh, he just laughed. No, I'm kidding. I can't touch him. I can't smell him. I can't taste him. I can't see him. I can't hear whatever it is that's out there in the spiritual realm with these senses. They weren't designed for that. That's not what they were made for. That's not what they were given to us for. If I'm going to hear or see or somehow know what's going on in the spiritual realm, then God has to somehow open my eyes into the spiritual realm, open my ears into the spiritual realm. For he who has eyes to see, let him see. For he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. That's what the Word of God says. God gave us our five senses to experience our life here on this earth so that we could function and operate on this earthly plane, in this earthly realm. So they're good. It's good. What God created is good. There's nothing bad about our senses. They're great. It would be terrible to not have them. But now God has given us a new ability. It's like a sixth sense. So, there's a reason for it. So that we can know Him and operate, understand and operate in the spiritual realm. The way we do this, the only way we can do this, is through the Holy Spirit. He's the connection to those spiritual senses. And I don't know how many there are. I don't know. We're probably not even limited to five. But I'm sure there's at least five, and there's probably a lot more ways that the Holy Spirit can connect us somehow. It's like Bluetooth. I love Bluetooth. You know, I have it in my car. I didn't order it. It just came with the car. And I get in the car, and after I'm in there for maybe 20 seconds, it somehow connects. I don't have to do anything. I just sit down in there, and all of a sudden it connects. And my phone rings, and it rings on the speaker in the car, and I just talk. I don't have to look anywhere or aim my head anywhere. It just comes out. It's like a miracle. Obviously, it's not. It's technology. But it's something, if this was 100 years ago and it was the Model T, imagine this. Before there were even phones, and all of a sudden I sat in that car and somebody started speaking to me and I didn't know who it was and I answered them and they answered me back, wouldn't that totally freak me out? Of course it would. I would have no idea, no concept of what that would be like. That's sort of how it is. People that don't have the Spirit, they don't understand. They can't understand. They'll never understand what it would be like for us to be able to talk to God through the Holy Spirit. You talk to God, and He speaks to you. I mean, you ever hear somebody say that? You see it on TV, and I saw that on a TV show not too long ago. They were debating around the dinner table, a big family. And they're actually a Christian family, and but obviously not all Spirit-filled. And, you know, they were debating about, you know, can God really speak to us? And of course God can speak to us if we have ears to hear. It's that, like I said, it's that wireless, it's that Wi-Fi, that Bluetooth. God's got ways to do it. He doesn't have to do it through natural means. He's done it through the natural means. He gave us His Word, written down on a piece of paper, on scrolls back in the old days. It was transferred over to paper. Thank God for the printing press. But He also has gone beyond the written Word, and now He's implanted His Word into our hearts. And even that written Word was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And now it says that His Word is written on our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit who reminds us of what God has said, of everything that Jesus said, of what the Word of God has said. It's the Holy Spirit that brings it back. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. Those senses cannot do it. But God has revealed it to us, thankfully, by His Holy Spirit. He keeps telling us over and over, He wants to communicate with us. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to understand Him. When we say, I just don't understand God, I don't know what God wants, I don't know what He wants for my life, well, then we need to get with Him. Because He's trying. He's working overtime, trying to speak to us. God has prepared all kinds of things for His children, just like we do as moms and dads. Let me ask you, if you got a one-year-old child or one-month-old child or whatever it is, are you going to go to them and try to explain the college fund you have set up for them? They wouldn't have a clue what you're talking about. They don't even understand what you're saying. Would you try to tell them all the rules, and all the things that they have to do and this? And they don't know. They don't understand. They wouldn't understand all the things that you've done for them to bless them, to protect them, to watch out for them. If we are led by God's Spirit, if we're not led by God's Spirit, I should say, if we're not led by God's Spirit, if we don't let His Spirit reveal Himself to us, His plans for us, what He's done for us, then we're no different than that little child. We just won't understand. We'll never understand His love, His plans. 1 Corinthians 2:12 tells us that we've been given the Holy Spirit for a reason. So, it says, this is a quote, that we may understand what God has freely given us. See, God wants us to understand the riches of His glory, the fullness of all that He's got for us, all that He's done for us. He wants us to know. He wants us to understand the cross and what Jesus has done. He wants us to understand salvation. We need to know these things, that we've been redeemed. God's blessings, His love, His provision, all these good things, they're coming forth. They're being poured out on us like the rays of the sun just shining on us over and over, just like being outside on a sunny day. And it's almost, you almost, sometimes it's too much. If you're out there without any protection, it's almost like you can't handle all the sun that's coming on you. Well, if we had full access and we had nothing in the way, no flesh in the way, and we had nothing but the Holy Spirit, and it was just us and the Spirit, the way it will be when we get to heaven, it would almost be like it's so much that we would be undone, as some people have said. I was in the Lord's Spirit that day, and I was undone. They just fell before the God. They couldn't even take it. The power of God was so overwhelming, it just blew them away. That's how much God's got for us. So much that we can't handle it. But if we're without God, if we're living in that carnal nature again, without His Spirit, we're stuck back down in that dungeon. There's no sun. There's no glory. There's no brightness. And we won't be able to experience any of what God has in store for us. Everything that comes from God has to be spiritually discerned. A non-Christian, a person led by the carnal nature, they can read this word. And they might get something out of it, because there's a lot of wonderful principles in there. But they're not going to know God by reading this word. They're not going to get the true essence of what it is that God is trying to get across to us. That comes through spiritual discernment. That comes as the Holy Spirit, who wrote it, now brings it to us. He opens up our heart to receive it. He opens up our mind to receive it. He gives us those ears to hear, the eyes to see. And then we read this scripture and it's like, bam, it just hits us. When that happens, when you read something and it explodes in your mind and you say, oh my gosh, that's me, or oh, God has done this. I can't, it's like it just hits us like a ton of bricks. That's the Holy Spirit. John 16:13 tells us it's the Holy Spirit who will guide us into all truth. You can handle the truth. You can. You can handle the truth when it's the Holy Spirit who reveals it to you. Those who are not led by the Spirit, they can handle the truth. They can't grasp it. They don't want to believe it. They run from it because they're afraid of it. They don't want to hear what the truth says to them. Because the truth not only speaks blessing, but it also speaks judgment. And for those who have rejected God, it's a judgment that leads to death. And they don't want to hear that. That's why they want to shut us up. That's why they want to cram us into the four walls of the church and not let us speak out about the name of Jesus. That's why they don't like Christianity out in the streets, because they don't want to hear it. They're afraid of it. They can't handle the truth. So many people believe that there's no absolute truth. There are even Christians that believe that. But there is truth. There's no such thing as, well, your truth is for you and my truth. No. The truth is the truth. There, according to God, there's a song that we sing, in fact, that says almost this exact thing, that there is one way, one truth, and one life. Right, Ray? You know that song? There is only one way. You know, there's only one truth. And it's the Holy Spirit who leads us into all truth. Boy, he just keeps coming back. And everything we're talking about, all Scripture, all telling us that the Holy Spirit is the one behind it. The Holy Spirit wants us to know the truth of who God is. Remember, he's revealing, the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals the deepest things of God, the thoughts of God. Ephesians 5:8 tells us that we are to be filled with the Spirit. If you look it up in the Greek and all that, it actually talks about this tense that means an ongoing present thing. It means to always be being filled. In other words, we need to have a constant filling of the Holy Spirit. It's not a one-time shot. We need to be continuously filled again, over and over and over and over until the day we die. Then it's going to be done for good. But in this body, there's such a constant battle between the Spirit and the flesh that we need to constantly be filled with the Spirit. We need to always be looking to be filled with the Spirit so that we can push out the flesh. More Spirit, less flesh. Less of me, more of you. Just like John the Baptist said when he was talking about Jesus, we can say the same thing talking about the Holy Spirit, because we need more of the Spirit and less of this flesh. That's the only way that we can have an inner knowledge, a solid conviction, a depth of understanding, the solid conviction of the reality of the spiritual world. That's what we need. We need to know it beyond a shadow of a doubt that that is what it is. We need to know the reality of God's love, of His kingdom, of His power, of His protection, of His provision. We need to know these things and know that they're real. God wants us to see into the spiritual world and see it as it really is. How it's triumphing over this fallen world, over this passing, material, temporary world. He wants us to see beyond that. It's like he wants us to have this vision where we're looking down, we're seeing this world down here, we're seeing all the troubles, all the problems, that we see that this world is just passing and fading, and all beyond that we see this vast, triumphant church. Amen. And we're part of that. That's our goal.
Our life is not here. We're temporary visitors. We're just aliens. We're sojourners. We're temporary visitors on this earth. He wants us to see the reality of His Son's sacrifice and His death on the cross and know that at that time, death and sin were conquered. From God's vantage point, from the spiritual's vantage point, we can look and see. There is where it happened. That's where sin and death were destroyed. And now beyond that is victory. He wants us to see that we're never alone. That He is an ever-present help through all of our troubles as we face them in this fallen world. He wants us to see that He is always there. Always. Always looking to spend time with us. Knocking, saying, "Let me in, let me in." Whenever we slow down enough. When we get still, quiet enough to get into His presence. God has so much for us. And He wants us to be able to see into that spiritual realm and see the difference that we're not stuck here in the flesh. When we are in the Spirit, what happens is we can sort of step out of this world. We get a taste of what God has in store for us. We get a real taste of the heavenly sometimes. Depending on how hard we push in, how hard we press in, sometimes we can get into that and get a glimpse of heaven, a glimpse of what's going on in the spiritual realm. When we are led by the Spirit, we can experience the love of God. Sometimes we're just so overwhelmed with it, we just break down crying. We get that peace of God that comes on us and we can't believe. How can I be at such peace? How can I feel that peace in the midst of all I'm going through? Sometimes we have a joy that comes from the Holy Spirit. These are the fruit of the Spirit. What that's telling us is that if we are being led by the Spirit, if we're walking by the Spirit, if we're living in the Spirit, if we're letting the Spirit guide us, that means the fruit of that is all these things are there for us. Just like an apple on a tree, we just pick it off and eat it whenever we want. Oh, there's some joy. God's love. Oh, man, it's good. I love apples. You know, they keep finding out good stuff about apples. I just read something the other day. Scientists have now found out that eating an apple a day actually keeps the doctor away. That's what they were saying, that there's so much stuff in an apple, a simple little apple, that it truly does help your immune system, it helps your functions, it helps your constitution, it helps all kinds of things. They say the old adage has more truth to it than we ever thought. Isn't that something? Unless, of course, it's on the tree of good and evil. Then we don't want it. God truly does have the answers to our problems. What we need to do is learn to walk in His ways and be led by His Spirit, so then we will see those answers. He really can help us through those situations. God doesn't want us to be all bound up. He doesn't want us to be enslaved again by the things of this world, by our sin nature, by all that stuff. So many people have it backwards. They think that by following God, I can't follow God. I don't want to follow. It's too much. I'll be so restricted. I won't be able to do anything. God's a killjoy. He just wants to, end all my fun. Well, that's not true. What really happens is when we follow God and we get in the flow of His Holy Spirit, then something else happens. 2 Corinthians 3:17 tells us the truth, and it says, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Could you imagine God sitting on His throne all bound up by duct tape? Now, doesn't that just sound totally ridiculous? God's still on His throne, yeah, but He can't move. He's been duct taped up. He's got handcuffs on, yeah.
the creator of the universe. Absolutely impossible. God is not restricted in any possible conceivable way. Of course, he's not going to sin, so he restricts himself in that sense, but this is his universe. He does what he wants. He's the ruler. He's the king. He's the Lord. And if we had that kind of knowledge, the same knowledge of God, don't you think that we would experience then a sense of that freedom? That's what happens when we're led by the Spirit. We have a newfound freedom. We're not bound all by rules and regulations. We live by the Spirit. The law of God is written on our hearts. And so we live according to God's law, but not in a sense where we have to, I gotta do that. No, it comes natural. We're led by the Spirit of God. I'm not saying we won't have any problems, because we've already talked about that. You know we're going to have problems. Jesus faced all kinds of difficult situations, but he was never bound up. He was never restricted. Remember, even when they took him, to the cross, he's the one who gave himself up. He went to them. You looking for me? You looking for me? He said that he willingly laid down his life. He could have had legions of angels come and rescue him. He easily could have done whatever he wanted, but he willingly laid. So he wasn't really bound up, even though they thought he was. The devil thought he had him bound up. The Roman soldiers thought they had him bound up. The Jewish leaders thought they had him bound up. He was playing right into their plan. They were playing, into his plan. It was all planned. The sacrifice had to happen. He did it freely, knowing it was the right thing to do. And we need to know that sometimes doing the right thing is not always easy, just like it wasn't easy for Jesus. Even the freedom to lay down our life as Jesus did, to put aside the pursuits of the flesh and pursue God. If we spend all our effort to try to run after the things of this world, if we try to save this life, hold on to what we think is good in this life, we're going to lose it. Matthew 16:25 says, "Forever, whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it." The things of this world, the desires of this flesh, they don't have the final say. They don't have to have the final say in your life. They don't have to hold us back. As always, as I said earlier, we have a choice to make. We can choose the flesh, the carnal nature that leads to nothing but disaster and eventually death, or we can choose the Spirit, which leads to success, victory, and eternal life. Holy Spirit, life, victory, peace, God. Carnal nature, disaster, the flesh, enslavement, sin, and death. That one or that one? Which one should we choose? Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will enable us to see through this material world into the spiritual realm and realize that this is where we're going to find true freedom. And it's here in the spiritual realm where we are set free from the constraints of this world. Once we enter into that spiritual realm, the more we are in the Spirit, the less bound up we are by the things of this world. And it's at that time then, as we are free from the things of this world, that the Holy Spirit then is able to bring us into the presence of our Heavenly Father, and it's there that the Holy Spirit will help us get to know Him. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Maybe you need more of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if there's anybody that doesn't. I do. I imagine we all do. We need the Holy Spirit. Maybe you feel like you've really been lacking in spirit, in the spiritual discernment, in spiritual direction. Maybe you just need to come forward and say, I need more of the Holy Spirit. You know, that's all we need. It's a matter of submitting. It's a matter of saying, I need more of the Holy Spirit, and just pour it in. We don't have to go through all kinds of gymnastics. We don't have to go through all kinds of tricks of the trade. We don't have to go through all kinds of stuff. We just say, God, I need more of your Holy Spirit. Remember when they went in the room and they prayed? And it says they went in there and they prayed for God, and they prayed for all kinds of stuff. But as they were praying, it said that the Holy Spirit, they were filled once again with the Holy Spirit. The walls of the room were shaking. The power of God was released. And they got filled with the Spirit once again. So let's pray. Father, we just pray right now, Lord, that you would fill every single one of us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us up. Fill us up, O Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Fill us up that we might know you in a way that we have never known you before. Lord, we want to know you, we want to love you, we want to serve you, and we want to be a blessing to you, Lord God. Use us for your glory. Fill us with your Spirit. Empower us to be your servants every day in every way. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. Pursue.